Aaron Francis again, guest hosting for Ron Stefanski on the Disrupt Ed podcasts. We're doing a series on higher education. Today I've got Julia Dixon with me here at the AIR Show in San Diego, which is just right next to ASU GSV. Julia, thank you for doing this.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
Last year you were here. You were actually in one of these little booths.
Yeah.
Launching a product.
I did a booth at the AIR Show. It was kind of SAI's launch just about a year ago. So fun to be back and see how far we've come in the last year.
What do you observe this year about ASU GSV or the AIR Show versus last year, either personally or just externally, what's going on in the world? I mean, what's your sense of the show?
Yeah, I mean, personally, it's very different. Last year, I was launching a company, doing a booth, speaking on stage, taking a bunch of meetings. This year, it's nice to just be more of a guest, absorb what everyone else is doing, still meet people for the second time or third time that I met last year. And yeah, you can tell they're got a nice flow going. This is the second year they've done the AIR Show. It's really cool. I've met a bunch of cool companies this year.
Yeah, that's awesome. Same. Well, good. So look, for our listeners, there's a pretty diverse group of people that this is going to get in front of. A lot of higher ed folks are going to see this. And I kind of want to give them a little bit about SAI, a little bit about your journey.
Yeah.
And I think maybe the place to start is just what inspired you to launch it to begin with?
Sure. So I used to be a college advisor, an independent counselor. I helped students and families with the whole college admissions process. But my specialty was around college essays and helping students tell their stories to show the school exactly what they'd be like on their campus, why they thrive there, and ultimately help them get in. As you well know, and I'm sure most of the listeners know, independent college advisors are very expensive. They're often reserved for a few high-income families, and it creates a pretty unequal playing field when it comes to students getting the individualized support they need to get into college. And, public schools, school counselors only have so much bandwidth to do that individual support. So that was really the origin of SAI. I was interested in democratizing college admissions, building an AI platform that would help students not only get the individualized support they need, but ultimately get even more individualized support than a human could give. How do we use a ton of school data and a ton of student data to really help them figure out where they should apply, what programs and majors to pick, and then ultimately, how do we tell the stories and the essay and the application to get them there? So yeah, I'm excited about how AI can make things both more accessible and also more intentional, and kids end up in the places that they're going to thrive.
Yeah, no, I think that's great. And I think, you know, for those that are listening, you know, if they were just to go to your website, they can get a pretty quick feel for this. Is there still sort of an ability to look through all of the different options? And
yep, it's a modular interface so students can pick which tools they need depending on where they are in the process. We have a school matchmaker tool if you're just starting to look at tools, a major matching tool. And then if you're actually in the college admissions process, we have a lot of tools that help students figure out what's right about in their essays, figure out how to frame their activities section, all the way down to matching them to scholarships and helping them with scholarship essays. But even if you just go on the homepage, we have a free tool you can use without logging in, where you can just start to get a gist of what SAI can help you do in terms of storytelling, where we'll ask a very teenage-friendly prompt, like, what's your favorite thing inside your bedroom? And that could be, you know, something like a poster on the wall or a gift from a family member, concert tickets, and we start to get at things like what drives students, what gets them excited, and how do we match that onto what they want to do next. So that kind of Gen Z-friendly prompting is really unique to our platform, and I think what makes it more approachable and fun for students.
Yeah. So, you've come a long way in a very short period of time, but I know there have been challenges along the way that you've had to face, especially from transitioning from an advisor to a founder. But I'm just curious, like, what struck you as the most challenging aspect of launching and then running this company?
Yeah, I've certainly learned a lot in the last year. I think when you're starting a business, especially if you don't come from the startup or VC world, and I did not, you just don't even know what you don't know. So there is a lot to figure out in terms of building the right business model, how to go to market and reach people. That was maybe the easiest part for me because I have a marketing background, but navigating the VC world and figuring out how to really get the talent and the tech to get this thing off the ground. All of that was a ton to navigate. I made some wrong turns, but ultimately found a really amazing people and mentors who helped me figure it out. Meeting other founders was definitely a huge help too, because people who are actively doing it or have just done it are
right.
Very helpful.
Yeah, no, for sure. Well, listen, you were named in the Forbes 30 under 30, which is a pretty significant achievement just this last year. Last year at this show, you were acknowledged as a leading woman in AI. And SAI has been featured in Forbes, Fox Business, and TechCrunch. I'm envious of all of the platitudes, but I mean, I'm just curious, how does a recognition, knowing all the challenges that you just sort of acknowledge take place, like how does recognition help you at this stage in your business and as an entrepreneur?
Yeah, I mean, very high highs and low lows as a founder. So I think when you're in the early stage and you're fighting every day just to like, you know, have enough money in the bank and get people on the platform, and you're driven by the mission for sure. But it is nice, even if these things are kind of vanity metrics, they do make you feel like what you're doing is getting recognized, and it motivates you to feel like you're doing something. I think from a personal perspective, it can open some doors and help you build a network. I've met some cool people through those opportunities and that recognition. But at the end of the day, doesn't really drive business. It's not changing the game, but it's a little something to make you feel like you're on the right path. And I was very grateful for all of this.
No, it's a great way to look at it. You're pretty level-headed and modest person, so I can appreciate that perspective. So I mean, at this stage, what's driving the passion for you to continue? You're leveling the playing fields in college admissions. I know that's maybe not the exact way you said it to me before, but it's the way that it made the most sense to me when I looked at what you were doing. But yeah, what's driving the passion behind that today? Is it the same as it always was? Are there new nuances to what's driving it?
That was always the original goal, and it's still the thing that drives me the most. I think especially right now, we're in college decision season. So I'm seeing all these kids who have used SAI in the last year finally figure out where they got in or the scholarships they got. And, you know, it's the individual stories I get. And we just had a student, she got a full ride to the University of Miami, and she's like one of our biggest advocates and super users. She got all of her friends on it, and she's been really helpful in helping us think out how we build some of the specific tools. But, you know, she said her parents would have never hired a college advisor. That was not something in their budget. And she thought that SAI made all the difference. And that was just one person. But those stories, I think, keep me motivated. A lot of being a founder is tedious and involves rejection and is disappointing. But when you hear those stories that make you feel like your original mission is actually happening for some students, that drives me more than anything.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. No, this makes sense. So far, as we've been conducting this podcast, I've been talking to founders who really uniquely all come from the space that they're advocating for, right? Like, so I had one company that came out of college presidents trying to figure out how to reduce the cost of creating new programs, and they launched a product. I had another that was doing some really creative stuff at a university, decided to launch a nonprofit consortium. And, you know, another that was a student-based solution for leveraging social media. You know the guys from Meet Your Class.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Michigan grads.
Michigan grads as well. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Soon to be Michigan grads in 3 weeks.
Pretty.
But yeah, so like, what I'm noticing as a theme in the people that I've chosen to meet with, or I've happened to be able to be lucky enough to meet with, including yourself, is that you all are so closely tied to the problem and understand it so clearly. College admissions folks, you know, they're tied very closely to this as well. But I think that you light up people's minds in the higher ed space when you talk about sort of trends in the Gen Z space. And so I'm just curious about, from your perspective, how is Gen Z shaping or reshaping the college admissions process? Like, how do you think about that? Because right now, it's there's a lot of effort at the college level to try and recruit differently.
Yeah.
But I'm just curious what you think is happening in the Gen Z world that's sort of reshaping the whole process.
Yeah, this is very top of mind for me. I mean, like you talked about coming from the world where we're operating in, my background is a college advisor and a marketer. And so talking to students on TikTok about college admissions, this is like where I spend the bulk of my time. So it's cool because not only is that a place where we try to get student users and we try to figure out, what's driving students to different solutions. It's also just a place where they're organically already having these conversations. So you'll see trending videos around like misconceptions around college admissions, the college essays that are going viral, the way students are thinking about what schools to choose and why. I mean, there's been, you know, I'm sure you're familiar with the concept of when a school does well in March Madness, they tend to have better applicants. It's the same with when a school appears in a TV show or when a viral influencer is posting from a college, that college tends to see an admissions boost. I mean, those are kind of extreme examples, but those conversations online do drive admissions trends. They do drive the schools kids are thinking about and how they think about applying. I have to do a lot of myth busting around college essays and how applications work. It's also a great equalizer to sharing information. There's a lot of good information on there too. I try to be a source of credible information myself. It's really interesting how they're driving conversations that do change what admissions could look like.
Sure. No, that's great.
Yeah.
I think, you know, the college admissions world, they do not have access to your data. They get to learn about the great work you're doing with students at this stage of your business. I'm really curious when you don't have a lot of opportunity, I would think, to speak with college admissions folks, but when you do, or when you have, how do they perceive the products and the service, and do you feel like there's like a cohesion there? Do you feel like there's a pushback at all?
Yeah, it's a good question. We work really closely with the AI and College Admissions Special Interest Group, and they're all about ethical AI usage in the admissions process. It's a group of active and some retired admissions officers who are interested in AI as an equalizer in the admissions process. And we work really closely with them on our product itself to make sure that things are ethical, that it does align with school policies. And they have a lot of healthy skepticism around how AI could be used poorly, especially if you're using tools that weren't meant for this use case or you're outsourcing writing and ideas. So we very much think about that in our product. How are we doing what a human advisor or a school counselor would do, which is the process of self-discovery, the process of thinking through what is the right school for you and how do we get in without, you know, doing things like writing an essay or, creating content that isn't the student's own. So definitely do work closely with admissions officers, but I think that group tends to have a optimistic view of the technology. I'm sure that's not everyone in the space. I myself certainly have a healthy amount of skepticism about AI and where it should and shouldn't be used. But I think there are some schools who have been hesitant to put out policies and are hesitant to embrace AI. My personal belief is it's not going away. Having a nuanced and open-minded approach to the technology is healthy. I mean, really could help those kids who don't have support elsewhere. So I'm always eager to talk to more admissions officers who want to learn more or are hesitant, but you're essentially open-minded about where AI can and should have a role in admissions. So yeah, I'd love to get more admissions officers to check it out.
Yeah, and I guess you kind of answered the idea or this idea of how technology has changed the way Gen Z navigates college admissions. Would you have any sense for where you think it's going in the future? I mean, not to be Pollyannish, but I'm just curious, like from your perspective, where could it get better? Where are the concerns even out of this AI group that you meet with? And what types of issues do you see in the future?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's some valid concerns about, if AI is driving the admissions process or you know, any aspect of the education process? Is it taking away the agency to do the work yourself, to do the writing yourself, to make sure that there's deep learning and not just deep prompting that does the actual work for you? And I think there's validity there. My hope, though, and my vision and why I'm doing what I'm doing is that ACE AI can get to know you more deeply than any like hour spent with the human advisor could. It really could guide students to better places for them, places that they're more likely to thrive, matching them to schools that aren't just the best possible school they could get into, but schools that really fit their budget and their location goals and the size that they would be most likely to thrive in based on their personality. And we get so specific, like the clubs they offer on campus and the types of teachers and professors they have there. Ideally, AI could guide students to places that they are the best fit for. And it's not just about like, how do we get you into the most elite school we can? But how do we get you into the right school? How do we get all students that opportunity to figure out what that right school is? I think AI has really cool potential there. I think it's a cool way to get to know yourself better and do a lot of unique data matching. I get very nerdy about the pattern recognition that the tech can do and how that can help us really deeply understand ourselves better. But, you know, we have a long way to go. The tech is still so new and it's not perfect, but it's cool to already see how kids have told me things like, you made me realize my life is actually really cool. I just didn't, I didn't know that thing was unique about me or that I could frame it in that way. And so giving kids the kind of power to see themselves differently and learn how that can be used to get them where they want to go next, I think is exciting.
I think it's inspiring. I mean, I would also just say that, like, for those that are listening in the higher ed space, I mean, help me with the numbers now, but millions of views, millions of students using TikTok are following you guys on TikTok.
Yeah. We had about 33 million kids engage with our content this year, and we post a lot about just how to pick the right school, how to write the right college essay, and how to end up in the place they are going to thrive.
Yeah. And then the number of students that then go on from that 33 million to sign up and start using SAI this year versus last year. What?
Yeah, we helped 500,000 students in the college admissions process this last year. My first year, we helped about 100,000 when we had a small MVP. We were basically pre-launch. This year, we have a full pro tier of the platform, and it's freemium, so any student can use the platform at all. And yeah, it's been really cool to see that grow just based on almost entirely on TikTok videos.
Yeah, that's amazing.
We dig deeply into the pain points they're already talking about there and really try to solve for that in our product.
Really? Okay. That's interesting. I mean, I want to point out those numbers because I think they're impressive in a short period of time for your business to grow like that. But also, I think it's a great, It's an inspiring story that higher ed people need to know about in terms of how students are getting better educated about their options. This is a really a good story for that. But I think it's also really important that even though this is not a product that higher ed purchases in any way, they need to know about it because it's something that has and is going to continue to have a really big impact on future generations of students. And I'm really excited for your growth and for where you take things next.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm excited about the opportunity to get students thinking about schools that they didn't know about before, schools that they're most likely to thrive, and excited to always talk to higher ed folks about how we get them in front of those students too.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, hey, thank you for coming by and doing this.
Thanks, everybody.